Hello and welcome to the programme. Today, damselflies and dragonflies. How can you tell the difference? And how can you become a citizen scientist? Excitement is high over the discovery of a new insect order, the first in over 100 years. And in this week's climate change feature, we discuss the critical role of methane emission reductions in policy planning.
Methane is a gas. It's a fairly rare gas in the atmosphere, but it's an important gas because it's a very powerful greenhouse gas. It is much more powerful than carbon dioxide, but how much more powerful depends upon the time horizon. So on a century time scale, it's 24 times more powerful, but actually on a decadal time scale, it's more like 60 times more powerful.
Don't forget, you can visit the website anytime you like. It's rte.ie/Mooney. Now, have a listen to this sound. This is the song of the humpback whale. It's used to attract a mate and is one of the most elaborate acoustic displays in the animal kingdom. But now, and after 16 years of searching, the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group has located a breeding ground for humpback whales feeding in Irish waters. Some say the discovery helped solve one of the biggest mysteries in Irish natural history. Humpback whales migrate around 5,000 kilometres on average, one of the longest migratory journeys of any mammal on Earth. They travel from rich feeding grounds at high latitudes, such as Ireland, to tropical breeding grounds near the equator. During a recent expedition to Cape Verde Islands off West Africa, the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group photographed a humpback whale, which had been seen 4 years previously off the coast of West Kerry. This is the first re-sighting of an individual humpback whale from Ireland to a known breeding ground. The discovery was made by Dr. Simon Barrow of the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. Simon is based in County Clare, from where he spoke to Richard Collins recently.
Hello, Simon. Congratulations. One of your humpbacks has turned up all the way south at the Cape Verde Islands.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Yeah, it's been a long old struggle. We first went to Cape Verde in 2003. We actually sailed down from West Clare all the way 4,000 kilometres in search of humpback whales to try and find the source of our humpback whales in Ireland, because, of course, Ireland is a feeding ground and we all know that humpbacks breed in tropical waters. So after 16 years and six trips to Cape Verde, we finally made a match. I was down there this Easter for 2 weeks, and on one chance day, we left the bay in São Rei and we sailed around to Santa Monica and recorded five whales there, and two towards the end of the day surfaced near the boat. One of those whales matches to a whale that was photographed off West Kerry 4 years previously. So it's been a long struggle, but it's come as a great sense of relief.
Well, what conclusions do you draw from that, Simon, about whale behaviour and Irish whale behaviour?
Well, we won't overinterpret it, Richard, of course. We have 92 individual whales now recorded in Irish waters. So one out of 92, you know, one whale doesn't make a summer. But it does show that at least one, and probably more, humpback whales that feed in Ireland during the spring, summer and autumn originate from Cape Verde. I'm not saying they all do, but at least this one does. Now, it could be just that this one happened to be in Boa Vista, which is the best studied area of Cape Verde, and other whales feeding in Ireland occur in other islands in the island archipelago. Or it could be that they feed elsewhere. It could be they breed off West Africa, or has been speculated for many, many years that maybe there's an unknown breeding ground for humpback whales in the North Atlantic, and that's where the majority of Irish whales go to. So we're not overinterpreting it, but at least it does show that for 16 years, we weren't actually looking totally in the wrong place, that some of the whales off the southwest coast of Ireland do breed in Cape Verde.
Breeding ground is a kind of a problematical term. Breeding is a very complex and long thing. You have to mate and find a mate, and then you have to mate with the mate. Then she has to gestate the baby, and the baby then is born 11 months or so later. Then there's a period of lactation, and then the baby is dependent on her for some years. It's a long, drawn-out process. When you say breeding ground, which of these stages do you mean by breeding ground?
Well, I suppose these tropical waters are calving areas. They're used for rearing the calves in warm water, so there's less of a thermal shock, thermal impact on the calves. Remember, the female hasn't fed since she left the feeding grounds in place like Ireland, so she's starving and she has to transfer all the nutrients or the energy during gestation and during lactation to put enough energy into that whale so it grows big and strong and well insulated enough to travel itself alone all the way to the feeding grounds further north. So it's a huge draw of resources on the female. But as well as calving and rearing the young, they also breed as well. So when you're on the breeding grounds for humpback whales, it can be it's quite dynamic. You have males coming down who are competing with other males to access females. Females have come down who aren't pregnant to mate. Others will be coming down pregnant to calf. And some will be coming down just to probably check out the breeding grounds. So it's an awfully dynamic place. Males, females, escorts, immature animals. And amongst all this, there are calves as well. So you're absolutely right. It's a complex interaction, which we are still trying to understand, especially off West Africa, because it's a very difficult place to work. So most of the knowledge on the breeding grounds are from warmer, quieter, calmer waters, such as the Caribbean and the Pacific. So very few people venture to West Africa. And I suppose that's why these discoveries like we have are still open to the likes of us who are prepared to put some time down there.
So a whale's optimal place is the north, the cold, oxygen-rich seas have plenty of food for them. So the place to be, if it's food you want, is up there. But if you're going to have a baby and raise it, the water is too cold, presumably. So you have to go away down to where the water is warm so that the baby won't suffer thermal shock when it is born or something like that. And then gradually, presumably, you can start drifting northward as the baby gets better, bigger rather. Eventually it will end up in the north, big enough to feed there. Is that the model?
Well, that's the traditional model, Richard, but I think that's too simplistic. And I think, you know, in recent years, with more research possibly in the northern high latitudes, there's been singing humpback whales recorded in the breeding season. We have whales in April, and the peak breeding time in West Africa is April. So are they non-breeders, or are the breeding grounds closer to islands? So I think that simple model that you've expressed and which you'd find in the textbooks is far too simplistic. And there's a lot more complication to it, which we don't understand. And yet, the humpback whale is the best studied of all the whale species. So I still think if there is a possibility, there is an unknown breeding ground, which could include a lot, if not the bulk of Irish whales. And that breeding ground might not be in as far south as the tropics and the equator. So we haven't finished the search for humpback whales, but at least we've got a small story to tell on that search.
It would seem to make sense for mating to actually take place while they're still in the northern waters and for the females to go south to have their babies. There's nothing for them to eat down south near the equator. But why would juveniles go down there? What would be the point? Are males that have no hope of securing a mate because they're too young? Surely they should stick around Ireland or someplace like that.
Yes, no, I agree. And a lot of the whales we see in Ireland are quite small. We have a new project called Whale Track now, where we're using drones to fly above whales to get an accurate estimate of length, because I think they're small, but we've no empirical data to support that, and also their body condition. So if you know the length and the width of the whale, you can get some idea, is it fat or is it thin? And if you can photograph the same whale, film the same whale at the beginning and the end of their time in Ireland, one would hope that they've put on weight and that Ireland is a good feeding ground.
Well, the animals down in the southern hemisphere must come north towards the equator in a similar sort of way. Is there any possibility that Irish whales are meeting up with, are mating with southern humpbacks?
No. Again, the traditional model is that the timing is 6 months out of step. Although one of our other discoveries in Cape Verde is that we have found southern hemisphere humpback whales in Cape Verde, which is north of the equator. So these are whales that are feeding in the Antarctic during the austral summer and then moving north. And actually, we found them 3,000 kilometres north of where they traditionally went to off Gabon. So Cape Verde is the only known place in the whole of the Atlantic Ocean that has two different populations of humpback whales breeding in the same location, but roughly about 6 months apart. So in theory, they shouldn't meet up with each other. And the other amazing thing we found in Cape Verde, which is becoming a well-studied area, even though it's a very difficult place to work, is that we have humpback whales that have gone from Cape Verde to high latitudes like Iceland and Norway, and then the following year have been seen off Guadeloupe, and then 1 or 2 years later have been seen back off Cape Verde. So this traditional model that you are faithful to your breeding grounds doesn't seem to hold true. And we've recorded that for a number of individual whales. So it's not just one doing it, it's actually quite a few. And to the best of our knowledge, it's only males that we know do that at the minute. So again, you know, this simple model that you expressed at the beginning is a nice, easy model for us to understand, but it is far more complicated than that. And we have had whales that are known to be 1 or 2 years old returning to the breeding grounds that soon after actually being born, and must be far too small and far too not strong enough to actually mate. So presumably they are coming down to maybe to check it out, maybe to get familiar with it, maybe it's all part of the learning experience, so that when you are finally and eventually big enough and strong to mate, that you have some insight to what's expected and that you're more successful.
Presumably you're going to look at other potential areas than the Cape Verdes. You've checked that out fairly thoroughly and you have proved that some Irish whales go there, but by no means all or many. So is there another candidate area which might have greater numbers of them?
The obvious place to look is mainland West Africa off Mauritania and Senegal. You know, we hear of humpback whales off these coasts in the right time of year, but it's very poorly studied. And to be honest, it's very dangerous. It's a treacherous coastline. There's no really harbours or safe havens to go to if the weather turns on you. And it's increasingly being populated by pirates. So I'd love to go to mainland West Africa. I'd love to take Kelty and Miss down there on a 3, 4, 5 year voyage of discovery. But whether we'd come back or not, I'm not too sure. So it's a difficult place to work. There is more exploration driven actually by oil and gas surveys. One of the more easy ways to do that, or easier ways to do that, would be to actually satellite tag whales in Ireland towards the end of their feeding period to see where do they go, and do the bulk of them go to West Africa, do the bulk of them go to Cape Verde, or do the bulk of them go to some unknown breeding ground that's never been discovered yet. I still think there's one out there, and that would be a great challenge to place satellite tags on them and see where do they go.
Simon, it's been most interesting talking to you, and I think our next interview, when you have completed more studies, will be even more fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Richard.
And more details can be found on our website, rte.ie/Mooney.